Blog Talk Radio.
Five Lincoln 103 and 102.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437 Bravo for your dignitary detail. 3K911, unattended 400 lower level near Carousel 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and Bravo.
484 suspect, the female, Hispanic, 28 years of age, blue jeans, no further.
Control, high Frank, 401 is a route.
Well, good evening and welcome to another live edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Show here on the POI Radio Network. As always, we're excited to be live on the air from our Charlotte studio. I'm your host, founder, and CEO of Private Officer International, Rick McCann. A couple of my sidekicks here with us, and we've got a great show lined up with some special guests. And we'll be talking in our training segment tonight about bullying, a problem that continues to exist and leads to serious consequences, suicide, and really has gotten out of hand. And this kind of plays in with our theme for our current training certification program going on right now with Armory College. And so we'll be bringing that up later on in the program. But we do have a lot to talk about tonight, a lot of things hitting in the news. But before I go forward with that, let me just say happy St. Paddy's Day to you and yours. Yes, we know, we're a day late, but we're not a dollar short. I am supposed to say at this point, welcome to the Private Officer Beat, the Private Officer Beat. That is because that's the official name of the radio show, the name that the show is produced under. So welcome, everybody, once again, to the Private Officer Beat on the Private Officer Radio Network. Okay, now we're all official, and we got that away, and my co-producer is going to be happy with that. So hopefully most of you already know where you're at, hopefully, who you are and who you're listening to. But if not, once again, this is the Private Officer Beat, sponsored by Private Officer International, a security and law enforcement association, and I'm your host, Rick McCann. Okay, back to the good stuff. Happy St. Paddy's Day. Yes, it was yesterday, and for those of you who are not Irish, I'm sure many of you celebrated anyway. Hey, any excuse to celebrate works for most people. Did you celebrate? Did you have some kind of party, or maybe you worked? If you were on duty over the weekend, did you have any problems with those, you know, tippy-toe, all right, I'll just call them what they were, drunks? If you did, send us some pictures. We'd like to see them. Send them to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. If you were on duty and maybe had a party atmosphere, you were at a bar, restaurant, nightclub, we'd love to see whatever you got. We'll load them up and put them on our Facebook page and send them out. I do want to caution you, if they're raunchy, you know what I'm talking about. If they're not really cool for the public, don't send them because they will be deleted. All right. Well, we want to know what's happening. Are you even Irish, for Leprechaun's sake? Jeez, Louise, come on now. Everybody's a little Irish on the 17th of March. No matter where you live or who you are, we've got people listening in many countries. We had an email last week, I believe it was from Holland. We've had people from many countries listening to the program in recent months that let us know, and we love that. So keep the emails rolling in. Send them to helpdesk@privateofficer.com or radio@privateofficer.com. Either way, I'll get them, and we'll read your story on the air. We've got some big breaking news across the news spectrum here right now in the last few days. You may or may not have seen the headlines. four big front page news stories breaking, and I just wouldn't be doing justice to the radio program if we didn't at least touch base in two situations. Two major wildfires destroyed more than 60 buildings in two states. You may have read that down near Myrtle Beach in Horry County, South Carolina. A huge wildfire destroyed about 30 buildings. And yesterday in the Gatlinburg Pigeon Forge area, which is in Sevier County, up in the mountains of Tennessee, another huge wildfire destroyed about 35 buildings there. This is, for those of you who don't live in the woods, don't live in the mountains, and are not firefighters, this is prime brush fire time. And I mean wild, wild fires, like the wild, wild, wild stuff, like you wouldn't believe. Many areas are dry, even though you wouldn't know it today, because many areas of the southeast were slammed by either snow or thunderstorms. But Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, did have quite a wildfire. So be careful out there. Don't throw your cigarettes out the window driving down the road. I hate people that do that. Well, I don't hate them. I'm just not happy with them. Because really, it can easily catch the woods on fire. If you've ever driven down Interstate 95 through Florida along Alligator Alley, which goes down near Miami and down through the Keys, oftentimes when the weather is dry, there will be brush fires on both sides of the interstate, and they'll burn acres and acres and acres of wilderness and trees and even signs because of the dryness and careless people throwing cigarette butts out the window. It can start just that quick, so be careful. The other big news over the weekend was a private commercial jet slammed into a home in South Bend, Indiana, killing two people and injuring three. It was just a horrific sight. If you've seen the pictures, if you've watched any of the news stories over the last 24 hours, my gosh, it's amazing that anyone survived that jet plane crash at all. It just slammed right into the front of the home. Unknown how many people on the ground was injured, but it was definitely a horrific sight to see. In Quebec, over the weekend, two Quebec inmates climbed up a rope onto a hovering helicopter to make a daring daylight escape from jail, from a jail just northwest of Montreal. Authorities say that the suspects somehow managed to get a helicopter to hover over the jail, and they escaped like a scene out of a movie. Police say that the pilot may or may not have been involved. They're still investigating. The last time that someone escaped via a helicopter was a New York businessman, Joel David Kaplan. He used a helicopter back in 1971 to escape prison in Mexico, and he went on to write a book about it. And also, Pascal Payet, a French prisoner, used a helicopter to escape on three different occasions, only to be caught later on each time by law enforcement. So I guess that didn't work out too well for him. But what a just sight to see. Prisoners escaping from the rooftop of a prison via a helicopter. Holy cow. Wow. You just never know. Getting back to the weather for just a moment, I did mention that there are some dry areas which are causing some major wildfires to burn. But today was not one of those dry weather days. We had, wow, messed up weather here in the southeast, traveling around the southeast today. Virginia had snow. It was wet, and it did cover the ground and cause a messy mush for many in the metro Richmond area. Tennessee has a report of several tornadoes on the ground in the last hour. Alabama is under severe tornado watch and warning. And in North Carolina, we've had severe rain, wind, and we've had lightning and thunderstorms. All of this tells me only one thing. Spring spring is blowing in, because this happens every year. Every year we get crazy weather, late February, March, and early April, especially in the southeast. We have everything from tornadoes to snow to hailstorms, you name it, we get it. It's just crazy. Let me see, what else we got going on here? Tonight we have special guests from a company that we're kind of excited about to be able to learn and to network with. Scopus Security Solutions from Charleston, South Carolina will be on the air with us. We'll be talking about their brand new product that they released for access control into a campus environment. And they are really on the forefront of creative planning and strategies for companies in emergencies, and also doing a lot of training events, counterterrorism, and things of that nature. So we'll be talking with the founder and CEO of the company coming up shortly, and we'll be learning all about their new products and their services. We're also going to be talking later in the program, like I said, about bullying. What is it? We all kind of know sort of what it is, but really, what is it? What is cyberbullying, and how does it really affect people since the inception of internet? You know, how does it change what bullying is all about? We'll be talking about that as well. I do want to remind you that while we're on the air, you can always send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com. You can send it 24/7, actually. If you're listening to this show tomorrow, next week, or next year, you can always send an email, a comment, a question to radio@privateofficer.com. Also, while we're on the air tonight, if you want to ask a question of our guest or follow along, you can do that on our chat window there in our chat room, or you can send us a tweet on Twitter at Private Officer, or send it email at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com. We'll be glad to answer your question and solve all of your problems, of course. Yeah, we're good at that. And we'll do it right here live on the program. So, as you can see, we've got a lot going on tonight, as always, and my mind is going a mile a minute. I do want to welcome a couple of new folks to the radio. Longtime listener, secretly, I don't know why that is. He doesn't want his name told on the air. I'm not sure why. He's never made contact, he says, but he sent an email a couple days ago saying he's listening and he enjoys the program. So, all right, whatever. If you are in the Virginia, D.C., and Maryland area and you're interested in being notified anytime there is breaking news in your area or there's a wanted person of interest, a person who's missing, send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com and we'll include you in SPIN, the Security Police Information Network email alert system. We'll also let you know if there's any breaking news, any injuries or deaths to security officers or law enforcement in the Virginia, Metro D.C., Maryland area, and you'll be the first to know. Well, you'll be the second to know. No, you'll be the third to know. They got it, then we get it, then you get it. Yeah, you'll be the third to know. But in any case, you'll definitely be one of the first to get that information. So if you'd like to be added to that database and get those emails, just send us a little email to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Tons and tons of stuff happening. We'll be right back.
Radio sponsored by Private Officer International. I don't go away because I'm coming right back with the more news, information, and free training for you that you're not going to want to miss.
HirePatriots.com is a free website where you can help our active, reserve, veteran military and their families by letting them help you. Do you have a chore that needs doing around your home or yard? Is your company looking for a new hire? Then post your jobs for free at HirePatriots.com. Visit HirePatriots.com and post your jobs today. HirePatriots.com.
You are listening to another edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network, brought to you by Private Officer International, a security and law enforcement organization, broadcasting today from Studio A. Now sit back, relax, and... All right, well, thank you for listening to the Private Officer Beat on the Private Officer Radio Network. And we've got some great guests coming up here momentarily. Tonight we're talking about bullying and how it affects not only the schools, the students, but the workplace. Because believe it or not, bullying occurs daily across the U.S. and around the nation, not only among children and students, but also among peers and coworkers and in the workplace. And we're going to look a little bit at that as we go a little bit deeper into the program. And we're going to talk a little bit about cyberbullying and how that really works and how it really has changed the whole concept of bullying. I also want to remind you about the upcoming 2013 Private Officer Memorial Month. We're going to spend a whole month this year doing different events around a number of strategic locations throughout the country. And if you'd like to get involved, please send an email to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Some more information will be sent out soon. We're going to make this a major awareness event, and we're going to need your help. We're going to need strategic partners. We're going to need additional fundraising. We're going to need some help to make this thing happen. And like I said, we'll be sending out more information about that, but keep that on your mind and keep that on the calendar, because that comes up every year in September. We usually do it the third week of September, but this year it'll be the entire month of September. Also, if you're interested in advertising on some of our media locations, whether it's on our main website, our news blog, our radio show, we do allow some minimal advertisement. And if you're interested, your business may really profit from it, because we have more than 2.4 million hits across the board. And we have a target market for you. Many of our listeners, or most of our listeners, are law enforcement, private security, public safety, loss prevention, school systems. We have a number of legislators and people who work within the state system who regulate private security that listen. We have a wide spectrum of followers, members, and listeners on the program, whether it be the radio or the website or our news blog. So if you'd like more information, just send an email to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Now, I could give you a bunch of different emails and a bunch of different websites, but most people don't have time to write all of that stuff down. You know, they just don't. So the best thing to do is, if you have any question about anything whatsoever, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. That is the easiest one-point contact, and they will send your email to the appropriate person, and we will respond back immediately. Also, if you are interested, we have a lot of training going on. Right now, we're in the midst of a great school, Security and Safety Officer Program. We've decided to leave the enrollment open. So if you're interested in taking that program, go to our website at www.privateofficer.com. The link is right at the top of the page. You can enroll right now. It is a great extensive program. Many of the modules and training will encompass many areas outside of the realm of campus security, and it will definitely help and assist you in your career, whatever level of private security or public safety that you're in or want to be in, as well as your current job. So check it out at privateofficer.com. We just got an alert. If you're in the Birmingham, Alabama area, extensive damage being reported because of severe weather. Some further extensive storm damage could be possible, meaning power outages for several days. The Alabama Power, which is the power source in the state, is reporting thousands of people in the state already have been affected by storms, and we're told that further severe weather is expected throughout the late hours of tonight. So if you're in Alabama, be prepared for that. We also got a alert a moment ago that in Houston, Texas today, a Houston police officer has been shot. The suspect has been killed during a traffic stop. There's been a number of those over the weekend. As usual, it's just one of those unfortunate things. Some people say that the crime is down and it's not as bad as it was 5 years ago, but ask law enforcement if that seems to be true. It doesn't really seem to be that true. A lot of breaking news happening across the spectrum. We're monitoring breaking news in many different areas that are seeing severe weather right now. And so we're going to be updating you throughout the radio program in case you are in one of those affected areas. I do want to say that we have not reported any security officers killed in the line of duty for a couple of weeks. And that's not because there hasn't been. It's because we haven't picked up on it. We don't know of any, and hopefully there hasn't. There was a security officer suicide about 2 weeks ago. It was an off-duty situation that did not get reported because there was no name involved. But as far as an on-duty death of a private security officer, it's been a few weeks, thank goodness. But we are staying on top of all the breaking news across the spectrum. More than 600 news media sites, press releases, and police public information officers sharing information with us. So we do have the latest breaking news in the private security as well as the public law enforcement and public safety side of it. And, of course, we will definitely update you either on the radio or via news alerts throughout the night. We have a guest caller. Good evening. You're on the Private Officer Beat. Good evening. You're on the Private Officer Beat.
Hey, this is Gal Neer and Andy Stevens from Scopus Security.
Hey, good evening, sir and gentlemen. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing tonight?
Good, good. My name is Rick Buchanan. I'm the host for the radio show. We contacted you folks because we got an email. We monitor a lot of different security and law enforcement sites with our association. And through the years, we have been placed on a lot of different press release notification systems. And we received some information, I guess, about a week or two ago about a new product that you folks had about access control and applying it to campus environments, and we're in a process right now of teaching that in our online college as a certification course. So I wanted to give you guys a call and contact you, and maybe you could tell us a little bit more about your business and also the new product that you've released for access control, and kind of tell us a little bit about your background. I've done a little research. You guys seem to be doing a lot of what we do. You seems like you guys work with a lot of emergency planning and a lot of drilling and things of that nature.
We do. Actually, Scopus is a company that was founded by Gal Neer, who you'll hear in just a moment, founded in Tel Aviv, Israel. And His background was from Secret Service in Israel and also security and Intel Corporation, and he did a lot of work at the airports here in Charleston following September 11th, and then formed Scopus in January of 2011, and shortly thereafter he's sort of moved the hub of his company right here to Charleston, South Carolina.
I love that because you're not too far away from where we're based out of Charlotte, North Carolina. So we're only a few hours apart, and you're down by the water, so we love that part of it.
We do too.
Now, I understand that you have a product that was released recently on access control. I want to talk a little bit about that. But I also wondered what you guys' thoughts might be on arming teachers and training teachers and school employees since the incident in Connecticut. There's been a lot of different ideas thrown around throughout the country. Two states have already passed laws that will allow school teachers and school employees to be armed. So just kind of curious about what your thoughts might be on that subject as well.
Okay, so this is Gal. First, thank you for having us at the show and taking part of this discussion. And I think it's important discussion, and the questions that probably are raised in the past and will raise in the future, I'm not so sure that we'll solve this incident, but at least to have discussion, to have drills, and the system that we'll elaborate as we move forward in this show today, maybe we'll bring some light here. So our thoughts regarding, and yes, we are aware of all kind of initiative of having teachers learn some kind of tactics or martial art tactics or arm them. We view this as not the ultimate or right option. Security, and I would like to elaborate on that. And we need to somehow look at the aviation industry. And as we know, there is a correlation here. We know that the pilots are flying the plane. The flight attendant are providing service and ensuring the safety of the cabinet and passengers, and the air marshal is protecting the entire environment. So our answer is that to better cope with this kind of incidents like an active shooter is to have a security system, access control in place, and also human ability to respond. We think that the teacher should concentrate on teaching and providing the right education for the kids, and looking at the safety aspects as well, but not looking at or cannot really put themselves untrained in order to mitigate such events like active shooter. By saying that, by the way, it doesn't mean that they should continue the drills, the basic drills within the schools, and we need to, of course, to continue to have the teachers and kids participate in those drills. But the solution is not having teachers armed with guns at schools.
I agree with that. You know, the problem, unfortunately, is that in many of these situations you have what's called, you have a knee-jerk reaction whenever you have a major mass shooting event. Everyone has a concept or an idea to kind of place a Band-Aid over the situation instead of thinking it out. They want to resolve it immediately because obviously it could happen again in your community, but I agree with what you're saying. I don't believe that arming teachers is the right direction. We have a Security and Law Enforcement Association since 2004. I'm a 38-year veteran of law enforcement and private security, as my partners are. We have a three-pronged thought on the school security situation, and that is access control, good access control. Unfortunately, many school systems still are open campuses. A lot of access doors still unsecure, unmonitored, and we need good physical security. We need to drill, just like in the old days. You know, I don't know if they still do, but back when I was a child, we had fire drills about every couple of months, and that's what they should be doing with this type of, you know, active shooter drill and so forth involving the students and the faculty.
One thing, if I can add, by the way, the solution that we're going to talk about, it's not just, you know, a solution by having a system. I think that we need somehow... We need to realize that the problem is even it starts from a little bit larger scale. It means that and today we had a meeting with law enforcement that we talked about that, and it starts with, in a way, with education, with what are the kids are, in a way, exposed. And I'm referring to games that are very violent, shows on the television, and I think this somehow drives those ideas eventually, and our society here especially is in a way becoming more violent. So I think this is something to put in the right perspective, and eventually, yes, the end solution in a way, or the single, I think, security rings, it's a system that to have in those schools. By the way, last week we held a workshop, and in that workshop we had a representative from law enforcement and other agency, and also some from the school administration, and we talked about not just the security system that needs to be in place, but also we talked about other things like how do you deal with multi-casualty events and referring to kids. And another thing, another aspect was how do you deal with other aspects like post-trauma event, things that are more, you know, you can't really see, you know, the person got hurt, but mentally issues that could people could be affect by such an event, the community, and also the first responders. So we had that that kind of discussions around that. One of the things that the key learnings, at least from the process that we have done here, and of course I encourage other schools and other municipality to do the same, is to work with, to put a plan together, and most schools have, in a way, internal procedures, but to have a plan and to do a drill with the emergency agencies to see how they are, in a way, collaborating and also working together to interface any kind of event. So this is something very critical and essential to do.
Again, I agree with you totally. My background is also as a chaplain and a paramedic, and I have a background in post-traumatic stress disorder. And, you know, we need to have a multi-tiered mm-hmm. plan, not only for the event, but the after event.
Yeah. Yes.
And, you know, unfortunately, businesses, school systems, and other private entities, they know what could happen, but it's always, it won't happen to me, it won't happen here. And I think we're at the point now where companies and schools know that it is time to be better prepared in a multi-level planning, so that when and if something does happen, you know, you can immediately go to that plan, you know, both during the event as well as the after effects. Now, Scopus Security Solutions, it looks like you provide emergency planning and drills and things of that nature. You get into the physical aspect of how to react during events. Tell me a little bit more about that aspect of your business.
Okay, so Scopus Security Solutions deal with different kind of sectors. I would say we are working also with the industrial, also private sectors. And by saying that, part of being part of the community, and we thought it was right also to contribute from the knowledge that we have and experience to work with schools and other operations within the city. Usually what we do, and when we engage any kind of operation, the first thing is that we, together with the local management, we are doing, we call it like a risk management or a process that in a way we are getting to know the operation, is objective, if it could be a school environment, it could be a plant or any other industry, and to understand what is the DNA of that organization, operation. And together, after a process that it's in a way like 4 or 5 days on site, we in a way through a, in a way a mapping meeting, we outline what are the key risks, and together find, of course, recommendations to mitigate those risks. We have done some work with the international airport here in Charleston, training and other with other agencies here. The government agencies, and of course we have other clients that are non-government. The experience that we have and we bring, it's experience that that is not just locally, in a way that some of our methods are in a way imported, but in the right perspective from Israel and other places. By the way, we don't think that the one size fits all, or what is right in other country is automatically right here in the U.S. We have to understand the environment, the community environment, and of course also the economic environment. And this is something that we know how to work with when we do this engagement and sharing that information.
Right. It is different. Some aspects may be the same, but it's not one size fits all. Never is. And everything has to be tailored specifically for the needs of that country and that individual business.
Definitely, because if you I see that we are in a way speaking the same language here. You know, to say that one size fits all, it means that you are in a way you're not going to be relevant. You know, and what we don't want to be perceived, you know, security, we perceive security as investment, or we see security as a value, like safety, not a priority. In order to get to those levels, you need to do the right, you know, you need to understand the environment, you need to understand the difficulties or the challenges of those operations that you work with, and of course to ensure eventually that they achieve their business goals, if it's education goals or business goals or any other goals, and how you can put systems in place to ensure those goals will be kept and even exceed.
Exactly, and that's why we stress all the time to clients and prospective clients that cookie-cutter emergency planning does not work. It may look good on paper, but every company and every type of business has their own specific needs. You know, they have their own specific issues, and everything has to be done individually. It has to have a security plan that is tailor-made for their specific need, property, environment, because what might happen at the school probably would not happen to the business down the road. It, you know, it's totally different. One of the other things I noticed was that you recently had a access control system called the Next Generation System. Could you explain a little bit about that?
Yes. So we did reveal the system, and to illustrate that system in a way, so I will walk you in a way in a, some kind of a three-dimension movie, and this will explain about this system. Eventually, And please, and the system is in a way takes or assume responsibility or support that responsibility from the moment the child is leaving the house, you know, and going on the yellow bus through school. So that system eventually support and provide indication at the moment the child is on the bus. The system also provide information on the bus, traffic information, and other information that is relevant for that bus to reach safely to the school. That system, by the way, is also has an access control portals that eventually those students are going to be going out of the bus and entering the school. So in any point of time, the school will get a notification who is on site or in a way who is on the campus. That system,
now,
by the way,
is that sent by email or text, or what method is used for delivery of that information?
It could be both. In a way, if you have a tablet, it means that also the parent could get a notification on most of the information. And just give me a moment, and I will answer that. But if we can continue a little bit about that system, eventually, this system will allow the school to get indication on real time who is on site, kids, of course, and also teachers. That system, in a case of an emergency, and let's take, we're not going to talk right now just an active shooter. We'll talk about a scenario that we have a suspicious person walking around the school. So that system, because of the CCTV, the cameras, sophisticated cameras, will give some kind of notification locally and, of course, to other agencies and 911 about that suspicious person. Automatically, that system, in case of a real event, if it's fire or other relevant crisis, this system would provide online to different agencies like police, fire departments, SWAT teams, will provide them online real-time information on their tablets. So eventually, the police and SWAT will get the blueprint of the specific school while they are driving and engaging that event. Another thing, that system, by the way, will provide and will do a statistic in a case of an emergency, God forbid, on kids that were wounded or more than that, what the type of blood is needed and where is it located in which hospitals within the city. So in a way, And this system is in a way also will be integrated with hospitals and also to a more comprehensive system that calls safe cities and smart cities. Eventually, the parent will get also notification almost online and incidents, or even because we know the issue of getting news, after the fact, or even a positive news, it's better to get it, a positive indication to get it online so it won't generate, anxiety and things like that. So that system supports. This information could be transmit to all tablets. It means that eventually it's going to be it's going to be a shared information to all people that are just all partners that I just mentioned, kids, parents, law enforcement, city representative, of course, agencies that are connected to 911. By the way, this system is in place and is working in Jerusalem, and we are in a process of locating a school to be a pilot for the system, not the system to be a pilot, here in Charleston, and hopefully we will find the school that we can implement that system. So in the beginning of the coming year, 2013-14, we'll have that system in place.
Excellent. And be sure to keep us in mind up here in Charlotte, so we can maybe network with you on that. I see that, this is something that really is needed, and you know, the alert system notifying multiple people, you know, is excellent. I see where you also have a number of other services that you provide to aviation, corporate security, and things of that nature. I know that you do a lot of risk management kind of stuff as well. Is there any one particular area that you enjoy more than the other, or do you just like it all?
You know, if I would say that we like it all, you know, it will sounds good. But there are three areas that I really enjoy. And part of my background is working for Intel for 10 years, Intel Corporation, and working for Intel worldwide. In the last, and one of my last roles within Intel, I was leading the risk management and business continuity plans for Intel. So I think it's all start with that. It means that to put a business continuity plans for any kind of operation, it takes a lot out of you first to understand what is the objective of that organization, if it's an organization or a plant or whatever. So it takes a lot of, I will call it, back-end engineering or back-end a lot of thoughts putting into that, because it in a way asks you to look at things that are not obvious, and of course that's something that fascinates the team here locally and also the team in Israel. So I think if I could say two or three things on top of everything that I like to do, is the risk management processes and putting business continuity plans for organizations.
I think, you know, it's fascinating, really, when you get into any business and you start looking at what their risks are and their security needs, and you really open up your client's eyes as to what they don't see, and that's the whole advantage of having a third party come in and do that risk management assessment. They, you know, they may look at something and not see what you can see coming in, but it is rewarding, especially if you can thwart or deter an event from happening or someone from being injured because of pre-planning and the assessment. Now, if someone wants to get a hold of you, they can go to your website, which I see is www.scopussecurity.com. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you are in Charleston, South Carolina, but you operate nationwide and in Israel.
We operate from both locations, from Israel and from Charleston, South Carolina. We have clients also in Europe and other places within the U.S., and there are there is relevant information on our website, and if people would like to contact us, please let them know that it's please do, in a way.
I will, and I appreciate you folks, Mr. Stevens and yourself, calling in tonight and giving us a little bit more information on Scopus Security Solutions. And like I said, being up in Charlotte, we're going to stay in touch with you folks, and maybe we can help each other out. And we're also going to put our members in contact with you. We'll send out your information tomorrow in our next news blast, and that way they'll have your information in case they need your service.
Well, thank you very much for the invitation. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. You have a good night, okay?
Let's all of us stay safe, huh? And secure.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Scopus Security Solutions, if your business is in need of a security risk assessment or other security solution products, be sure to go to www.scopussecurity.com. Very interesting that the gentleman's background included the, and he alluded to this, and I didn't really get into it, but he was a part of the Israeli Defense Forces, and his partner, Mr. Stevens, an extensive background in security and consulting. And like I said, it looks like a great opportunity. They do offer a boutique of services. And if you are in need of those, if you're in the aviation, corporate security, schools, and you need an emergency planning or solution, make sure that you do contact Scopus Security Solutions from Charleston, South Carolina. www.scopussecurity.com. www.gallnearandandystevens.com. And if you want to call them, well, they do have a phone number as well. Their phone number is area code 864-414-9636. 864-414-9636. We're going to take a quick break. We got a couple more things to discuss, and then we're going to head on over to our training segment tonight. It's not really a training segment because we don't do a lot of training on the radio show. It's kind of hard to do that. But I do want to provide you with some introductory base information on bullying. Certainly, there's a lot more to it than what we're going to be able to deliver to you in this short time tonight. But it will get you hopefully thinking about the problem that's out there, as well as give you an opportunity to, I don't want to say understand it, because maybe you already do, but just be aware of it more than you might have. We'll be right back.
Simple thing. It only takes 2 seconds. We all know we should do it. We all say we do it. But do we? About 35,000 people were killed in motor vehicle accidents last year. More than half were not wearing a seatbelt. A brother, a father, a mother, a best friend. Is it worth it? I lost a sister. Don't let it happen to you and your family. Tell the people you love to buckle up.
All right, welcome back to the Private Officer Beat on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network, and we are in the midst of a severe storm, lightning, thunder, heavy rain, wind. Wow. If we do go off air by some remote chance, I just want to let you know we're not hanging up on you. Hopefully y'all will be well and safe for the next 40 minutes or so until we can get through the program. Tonight I do want to say a quick shout out to a couple of folks having a birthday, and we want to wish them, of course, happy birthday to Kevin Myers. He is 59 in Canada. Lonnie Steinsmith is 37 in Newell. And there's no state, so I'm not sure where that is. Oscar Ferrelli, 63, in Portsmouth, Virginia, security officer there on the coast of Virginia. Happy birthday to you guys. Also want to congratulate our latest five candidates receiving the Certified Asset Protection Professional designation. Now, there's been some talk recently about some of the designations, training, certifications in a number of organizations, not only POI, but also AS-IS and a couple of others. There's another organization, the Foundation of Security Officers, and a few others that offer training and certifications and designations. I just want to say that designations and certifications come from proprietary organizations that are industry standard, reputable, and have a background in the area that they're specifically certifying or training. POI's background since 2004 has been strong. It has been an industry standard nationally and even internationally recognized. We have trained members of a number of elite security teams. We have been the trainer for Mobil, Exxon, Home Depot, the Shell Oil Company in several countries. We are part of the Nebraska school system, a school system in Hawaii. A number of entities use our curriculum to teach and to certify security officers, as well as our curriculum being used in several states by the state regulating regulatory agency as the curriculum to certify those state security officers. So I think that's about all of the what do I want to say here without embarrassing someone or putting them down? I think that says it all. We are definitely providing top-notch training, and our designations mean something. We don't give someone a certificate. Anyone in the school security and safety officer program right now will tell you the college-level training that they are receiving is bar none above any online training that you can get. We are putting them through their paces, so to speak, and we're making them work for it. It's just not something we're going to give. It's not a one-day or one-hour course online. All right, enough said about that. Armor College is accredited and accredited in a number of specific areas and going through a number of other accreditations, so that everything that we teach from A to Z will be recognized worldwide. So, the end. All right, bullying. We want to talk a little bit about bullying tonight because this is really a severe issue. Like I said earlier, before I went to the break, it's an introduction. It's a foundation to get you to start thinking about this very serious issue. It's an issue in our community, in your community, maybe even within your own family. I want you to start thinking and realizing what bullying really is. How does it work? How has it changed with the inception of social media, of the internet? We've all heard sticks and stones may break my bones, but names, names will never hurt me. Well, let me tell you, straight up, that's a bunch of bull. It's not true. Not true at all. Because name-calling, belittling, degrading, making off-color remarks do hurt. The words often cut to the bone. And anyone who doesn't think or feel that way needs to be the target of some intense bullying for about a week. And I guarantee you, it'll change your mind and your attitude. Bullying has definitely been happening for decades, if not forever, across the country and around the world. But it has always been something that has not been fully understood, talked about, or dealt with in an adequate manner. Victims of bullying have often been silent, feeling alone and helpless, cornered and afraid, with no way out and no one to help them. Even when they have come forward, for many years, they were ignored. They were told to grow up, get over it. It was all just in good fun. They were the people that was having the problem. The victim would often go deeper into their shell. Bullying happens just outside our door. My door, your door. It's in our community, wherever you live. It's in our schools. And as I said at the top of the hour, it's even in our workplaces. Bullying affects not only children and young people, But adults, and it's prevalent in many business entities. Bullying often leads to depression, self-imposed imprisonment within oneself as well as within the confines of their home. They seldom come outside, they don't socialize, and some refuse to go to school. In severe cases, bullying will also lead to suicidal thoughts, attempts, and a person taking their own life. There's been a number of cases of suicides of juveniles in the last 2 years that have made media headlines worldwide. Several posting their goodbyes and farewells on places like social media, Facebook, Twitter, and MySpace, calling the attention to the ever-increasing problem of bullying in our community, our school, and our business. Victims of bullying feel trapped with no end in sight and no way out. It's something that's serious and something that should not be taken lightly. The definition of bullying is the use of force or coercion to abuse or to intimidate others. That behavior can be habitual and involve an imbalance of social or physical power. It can include verbal harassment or a threat, physical assault or coercion, and may be directed repeatedly towards particular victims, perhaps on grounds of race, religion, gender, sexuality, or ability. That's what Wikipedia says. The definition is a little bit different. The U.S. government definition defines bullying as an unwanted aggressive behavior among school-aged children that involves a real or perceived power imbalance. The behavior is repeated or has the potential to be repeated over time. Bullying includes actions such as making threats, spreading rumors, attacking someone physically or verbally, and excluding someone from a group or a purpose. There's one thing wrong about the government's definition. It says bullying is aggressive behavior among school-age children. I've already said several times that it's actually been proven to be among adults nationwide in the workplace. Several adults have killed themselves in the last 5 years because of workplace bullying. They brought the issue to their supervisor, their manager, but nothing was done. This is certainly not just a teenage problem, but an issue that knows no age demographic, no social status boundaries, no limits. It's something that we have to get a handle on, something that we need to understand immediately.
I'm Kathy Gettle.
And I'm Mike Gettle.
We're John Gettle's parents. This is John. First of all, this is John's accomplishments in Boy Scouts. This is sort of a collage of some things that John, that I got to wear at display. This is one of his birthday things where he was really happy and he played baseball. This is another picture that he did at the same general time frame. It was just before he died. On April the 16th of 2002, our son decided to complete bullyside. He was bullied to the point of completing suicide. And because he decided to hang himself at his middle school, leaving a note that saying bullying is a problem, I decided to look at a lot of things. And I said, yes, bullying is a problem. They say, oh, you're a boy, you're a man, you're not supposed to cry. John taught us differently. John was a very sensitive child. one of the things with some of John's bullies. It was like, what can we do to make John Gettle cry today? Just day after day after day. So my thing is, stop doing it. Don't continue to do something if you know that it's hurting somebody. All he knew was he was in pain, and he wanted to get rid of his pain. And he wanted a message to be out there. This is the letter that was found at the scene. Okay? And I'm going to read it. It says, I also sorrow you lost, yet this teaches you a lesson in life. Yes, I did suffer from depression, which resulted in this. Keep my body there so that everyone knows that peer pressure and bullying is a big thing. And he writes big in great big huge letters. So don't ignore.
The whole point is, if you're in that much pain, you can't see some of the good and some of the people around. Ask for help. First thing when I see him, when I get to heaven, I'm going to kick him in the butt. And then I'm going to hug him. And I don't think there's going to have to be anything said beyond that.
I would just take him in my arms and say, John, I love you. I've always loved you. Took a part of me away, and because you had a message of what you wanted people to be aware of, I have been your spokesperson, and I know you know I've been your spokesperson, and that you've been there for me.
To me is when someone is mean repeatedly over a period of time and is relentless and won't stop.
Isolating a person in a way or people in ways that make them feel inferior, oppressed, in a sense that you can't be expressive of what it is you are, who you are, what your feelings are, just being you.
Especially if your intentions aren't it. Someone's intentions aren't hurt someone, and they're doing it repetitively, and that's bullying. And if it's just one thing, you're just making a joke, then I wouldn't consider that bullying.
You can say something jokingly to someone, and I've done that in my lifetime, where I've said something that I thought was funny that hurt someone's feelings or had it said to me.
Really, when it comes down to it, the only thing that experts agree about is that bullying is about abusing power in school settings.
I view it as a power struggle. I mean, bullying to me is one person trying to take somebody else's power, and the person whose power may be threatened trying to figure out how to hold on to it.
Most of the times, these people who are insulting other people and are putting down other people really don't have any faith in themselves, and they feel better when they can make other people get down to their level.
Some of the bullies actually are doing it for attention because they're not getting the attention at home.
The leading reason why individuals engage in hurtful, mean-spirited behavior towards others is because they have role models in their lives that show them how to do it.
I do believe it has an awful lot to do with how you were brought up and how you were taught to either respect other human beings and think about how you're treating them and how you'd like to be treated.
I've been bullied a lot in my life, but I think a lot of it helps you grow as a person, but it's still, like, I'm still affected by being bullied when I was younger than elementary school.
When I grew up, I was pretty overweight. I was really overweight for a long time. My parents owned a restaurant, which is great food. But I was made fun of a lot, and I knew I was made fun of. It was more so under the breath of people, you know, on the bus, that kind of stuff.
I remember it clearly to this day. In eighth grade, I remember being bullied because of my religion. And I remember the exact words the two or three students used over and over again. And I remember as well the teacher who yanked those students out of the hallway and came to my defense. And even now when I see him, he knows how much that meant to me now. And I'm much older than I was in eighth grade.
I was always a smaller kid, so I was always picked on. And also because of my religion, so people crack jokes here and there.
What it felt like to be constantly afraid of being made fun of, no matter what you did, whether it was when you stepped up to play in PE, you know, and you had kickball. If you missed the ball, you missed the ball because you were fat.
You think you're a good person, you think you do all the right things, and then somebody puts you down, and it's like, what did I do wrong? Why don't people like me?
I don't see a lot of, like, pushing and shoving, like, everyone classifies bullying as, like, oh, some football guys, like, are pushing this kid against the wall. Like, I don't see any of that. It doesn't happen at RAM, but it's more of like the behind people's backs, like talking, like, oh, what did you say about me? It's more of that kind of bullying, like putting someone down with words.
The crazy thing about bullying nowadays, it's not even that anymore. It's not like who's ugly, who's the geek necessarily. It's like mean, you know? Like you could be the most popular girl in school and people are texting about you.
I've seen students put down for a number of reasons, whether it be somebody calling somebody not quite so intelligent. I've seen people being picked on for gender orientation. I've certainly seen people being picked on for even ethnicity.
Intentional acts to humiliate, harass, and threaten somebody, using today's technology as a tool for
it. Cyberbullying is way more of a concern nowadays than face-to-face bullying or pushing people bullying.
Lately, a lot of it's been Twitter, and people write things that they can't say to someone's face on Twitter, and then people see it and they get hurt by it, and it goes a lot farther than they ever intended it to.
With, you know, being online on various social networks, you can attack people at every angle that you want to. We didn't have that growing up.
So there's a whole lot more of it going on now because of the ability just to type out things without thinking and spit back and forth comments and write these things and just can accelerate and grow. And then you send it to all your friends so that they all get involved with it. And now maybe a little problem that you and I may have had, we want to make it everyone's problem.
Now on Twitter, people comment on other people's Twitters, make comments about people without saying who it is.
Text messaging, Facebook, YouTube, there's the victim can't escape it. It's there all the time, and that's not fair.
If you're really hurting someone in person, you can probably see it in their eyes and their facial expressions. But on the computer, it's a very cowardly thing to do. I mean, you're sitting there behind them, you're not even seeing what their reaction is. You're just simply hurting them and not thinking of the consequences.
They don't see that the comments and what they say have just as much, if not more, of an impact. Once you do it on cyber, it lasts forever. Those comments can follow you for the rest of your life.
People being able to anonymously post things, and the awful things, I mean, awful things that have been written, and students coming in here, you know, into school, devastated.
You go online, you are not anonymous. You might think you are. You might get away with it for a little while, but if you break the law, we can find you.
Also need to take a stand and step forward and make sure that they're letting people know.
In all cases, if you don't try, it's not going to get better. And if you have within a school an adult, a trusted friend, somebody who you can tell, who you believe will keep that information safe and do something about it, it's very important to tell.
If you stay quiet, if you do nothing at all, if you're watching it happen to somebody and say nothing, nothing will change. It will always stay the same.
What I really hope is that if a student didn't feel comfortable telling an adult, they would at least tell a friend.
If someone comes to me and says, you know, this is happening, I'm being bullied, then immediately I respond in a variety of different ways.
Oftentimes, if something is reported to us, a conversation with the other student puts an end to it. Because sometimes the other student doesn't even realize what they're doing is making the first person feel badly. And that's a huge learning experience for kids.
We always talk about the way to get at it is to change the culture, and the school community of how everyone views bullying. And if you view it as being acceptable, it will always be there. But if you view it as unacceptable, something we will not allow to be around us, we will not stand here and say this is okay, then it will start to dissipate and eventually...
As an entire community.
Right.
It has to be consistent across the board. And I think the fact that it can take such a small step, we're not talking about, huge acts or anything. Such a small thing can help diffuse something and make such a big difference.
Everyone knows that I'm bullied. People all around me are bullied. No one can say they haven't bullied someone. So if everyone just stops and just decides, hey, we don't want this anymore, we don't want this to happen anymore, then we can make it happen. It's up to us.
It all comes down to human kindness. And I don't know how much control we have over human kindness other than really creating an atmosphere here where we promote it as much as we possibly can.
The thing that we all have to remember, whether we're a student, an adult, is that the impacts are absolutely devastating.
Any individuals who engage in hurtful behavior towards others need to develop some empathy, need to understand that the other person or persons that they're hurting have feelings too.
I see the pain it causes, and I know that that pain isn't pain that goes away. Is it temporary, but it stays with you, and it impacts you as an adult even, and you remember.
I just don't get why people would want to make other people feel so sad. So sad.
Nobody deserves to be treated unfairly and rudely or, in any form of harmful way.
Bullying is just this kind of sick way of depriving people of that, of depriving people of a high school experience. I mean, everyone should have an equal chance and everyone should enjoy life as much as they possibly can. It shouldn't be brought down because someone else can't get over their own personal issues.
Problem. Whether you're a student or an adult, whether you live in Florida, LA, or Middle America, even if you don't see it, and don't believe it's happening in your community, your school, or your business, believe me when I tell you it is, and it does. I remember as a youngster in eighth grade being made fun of because I was a little overweight and I wore the wrong type of clothes. My family was poor. They didn't have the money to buy the latest styles we bought off the rack. And I know today, in many communities, the same thing exists. Students bullied, being the target because they don't have a $300 pair of shoes, because they're not wearing the latest trends. They're overweight. They have acne. They don't live on the right side of the tracks. As a school security officer, resource officer, public safety private officer, in a school setting, it is your job to recognize what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. If a person says a mean-spirited comment once, it can be ignored. Sticks and stones do break the bones, and the names will definitely hurt the person. If they say it once out of ignorance, we may not be happy, but we can overlook it. But when it's a continual barrage of comments, name-calling, an aggressive behavior against another, then it's our responsibility to recognize it and to react like we would with any other situation. I remember a few years back an employee who came from a biracial family, and other officers would comment jokingly, and he would half smile and shrug it off and walk away. And I let that go on for a few weeks until I realized that he wasn't really smiling inside at all. It was hurtful, some of the stuff that his coworkers were saying. Recognizing what is not a joke, what is not a prank, is very important in turning the tide of bullying at school, at work, or in the community. Ask your children, if you have young children, ask your teenagers if anyone's ever called them names, made fun of their clothes, the color of their skin, the way they talk, the way they dress, the way they comb their hair. And I'm sure that the majority will say, yes, it's happened to them. Ask them how they felt when they had someone call them fat girl or some other derogatory name. The answers might surprise you. With the invention of the internet and the social media sites, which are tons, tons of them, it has caused bullying to go from two individuals having a problem now to spreading like wildfire, not only across the school, the town, the community, but the nation and even the world. I've seen cyberbullying that included people from other countries that didn't even know the person, but because everyone on that chat room, that community board, was involved, they too got involved. The internet causes this problem to spread.
We spend lots of time online. We text, we comment, we share. It's a big part of our lives. But communicating with someone online is just like talking to them in real life. Everyone appreciates politeness, and no one likes it when people make fun, spread gossip, rumors, or lies. The fact is, some people do try to hurt others online. It's called cyberbullying, and it's a lose-lose situation. It makes the person being harassed feel bad, and it makes the bully look bad. It might lead to trouble with school authorities or even the police. If someone's harassing you online, it's important not to respond. That's because bullies are looking for a reaction. Block them if you can. Ignore them if you can't. If it continues, save the evidence and ask an adult for help. And don't be afraid to stand up for yourself or to stand up for someone else being cyberbullied. This behavior usually stops pretty quickly when someone speaks up. And when you're communicating online, remember to treat people the way you'd like to be treated. Know how to handle yourself, because being online is part of your life. So stop and think before you click.
Cyberbullying involves adults and children and teens alike. In recent years, cyberbullying has led to criminal charges and even suicides. Electronic technology has really caused bullying to take on an anonymous, faceless culprit. Technology allows bullying across a wide spectrum of devices and equipment, such as cell phones, computers, and tablets, as well as other communication tools, social media sites, text messages, and websites. We've got to put a stop. We have to recognize it, respond to it, and not allow it to happen in our school, our workplace, or our family, and realize the serious consequences behind allowing this type of activity to occur. Realizing not only the hurt that the person is feeling, but also what is transpiring within the person themselves and how it could lead to even more serious events. You see, active shooters, we later find out after the event, were often victims of bullying, were often victims of being scrutinized by their peers and made to feel like outsiders and freaks. Think about what you say and what you allow to be said in your presence, your company, your business, your school. Bullying is not just a catchphrase, not just something that happens occasionally, but something that is serious and could and often does, unfortunately, lead to serious outcomes. That's all for this edition of the Private Officer Beat. We're glad that you've joined us. Be safe, be blessed, and as always, we'll see you back here on the radio.